well, our movie got pulled, and we don't have a backup plan. And you know what happens when we don't have a backup plan? Talk nerdy to me! Hello, everybody, and welcome back to your new favorite show, The More You Nerd. My name is Drew, and we are here to just hang for a little while.
He's talking nerdy this week.
Septembers are weird, and we are just going to hang out for a little bit and talk, and that's probably going to be what we do next week as well, because I will just be getting back from Dragon Con next week. And then we'll miss the next week because Miles will be, unfortunately, on assignment. But with that said, my name is Drew. I need my co-host of the Mo-host. Miles, how are you, my friend?
Doing all right. It's been a hectic August. I'm not going to be sad to see that month go, especially as we get closer to fall, my favorite time of year, as well as spooky season.
spooky season has begun, my friend. Target already is loaded with Halloween costumes. Look,
you're talking to someone who spooky season never ends. So, but I did notice the pumpkin spice coming in a little earlier this year. Not too complaining about that.
Can I be honest with you about something pumpkin spice related right now?
I mean, I know you and your wife don't like it.
Well, I don't drink coffee anyway, so that's not what I'm talking about, though. I do a crossword puzzle every day.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things was the L in PSL. And because I grew up so close to Charlotte, North Carolina, and the Carolina Panthers, and their personal seat licenses... that I completely forgot that PSL had another thing associated with it.
Yeah, I think PSL's been used actually a little bit from the 90s onward. I feel like there was some sort of like tech or web design or something that was called PSL, or maybe some like accelerated reader program or something that went by a similar name. But yeah, like Drew said, unfortunately the producers, which was for free on YouTube, is no longer for free on YouTube. Both of us were pretty much halfway through it, and neither of us were too upset that we did not have access to it anymore.
That's,
we cut our losses.
You know, I did promise that I was gonna look something up, and then I completely forgot that I was gonna look this up, so I'm gonna look something up real fast while you vamp.
Sure. I will say this. Don't take our complete negligence as a entirely dumping on this movie. I just think it's... I think that you're 50-50 making a film out of a musical theater play anyway. It can be done. It can be done well. But it also can be done very poorly and often is. And for me, part of it is lacking the magic of the theater. Sometimes you overstuff, or there's so much stuff from the play and you only really have maybe 2 hours, 2.5, you're really pushing it for a wide release, especially in 2005. And I think it just kind of feels a little empty. It just doesn't quite connect for me. It's not that Broderick and Lane are bad. They were amazing in the play. It's just that the whole thing just feels a little too late.
Well, it's also just that movie and theater are different. They're different.
They are.
They're different genres. They're different, like, things. And I don't know. It just wasn't really working for me.
No, it wasn't working for me either for many of the reasons, especially Wicked Part 2 did not work for me at all. In fact, I liked the first part. That was pretty good, but I wasn't in love with it. I love the play. And I like a lot of renditions musically from the film. I liked Ariana Grande's performance. I liked Cynthia Erivo's performance, but I thought the script was dog water. And I come away walking away from that movie the same way I came walking away from halfway through this movie, was thinking, gosh, I wish they just professionally filmed A Night at the Play.
Yeah, would have been nice. Would have been nice.
I mean, because we've seen it. We've seen, I mean, Hamilton obviously is the most popular example, I think.
Who? I'm kidding. Don't.
But I often feel that way. Like, I would rather just watch a recording of the production, and I'm fine with that. That's not to say that I don't think you should attempt it. It has been done well. There are really good versions of stage plays out there. This just isn't one of them, but it's not because it's absolutely terrible. Like, it's perfectly watchable. It's just, if you can catch a production of it, I really like, I was lucky enough that I saw it in not the original run with Broderick and Lane, but I mean, that thing premiered in 2001. I saw it in January 2002 on Broadway. So, like, it was still a new happening play when I saw it.
I saw it in 2005 in the West End of London. It was supposed to be Richard Dreyfuss.
Right, you mentioned that.
I was just making sure I got the name right. And as it turns out, I did get the name right. I was supposed to be Richard Dreyfuss, but he backed out at the last minute and Nathan Lane came in, which was, for the record, really awesome. Loved that play. Just didn't really love the movie version. And I think, as we talked about it last week, the whatchacallums kind of show that out. But
yes.
Miles, I'm gonna show you something else as we switch focus here, because I have a question for you.
Yeah.
In my hands, and the listeners may have heard me fiddling, I have a transforming robot from the Hasbro company.
I also have a transforming robot from the Hasbro company that came in today.
Yeah. And this is the Mysterious Prime and Automut. It is the mystery machine as a transformer. With a little Scooby Snacks box that turns into Automut that looks a lot like Scooby. And this thing rules. I just transformed it for the first time. But this is where, Miles, I have a question for you. Because we have a choice to make here. It comes with four different heads.
It does.
One per member of the Scooby gang in order to, you know, put on Mysterious Prime. There's a Fred head, a Daphne head, a Velma head, and a Shaggy head. And the Fred head and the Daphne head also come with the scarf and kerchief so that you could put on it, which is a very fun
ascot.
Did I say kerchief? I meant ascot. I'm sorry, Fred. And my question for you is, what head are you gonna use?
Velma,
really?
She's got the visor that kind of looks like those 80s sunglasses that several Transformers do have, and I just think that kind of looks the most Transformer-y. The other ones are great.
I was thinking the same thing, but Daphne, because Daphne's head looks very much like Rodimus Prime's head.
I was saying it's very similar to Rodimus. I fully agree with that as well.
However, I think my choice is gonna be, because Automut looks just like Scooby, I think it's gonna be the Shaggy head.
Yeah, the thing is, all four heads look great. They did a tremendous job designing this one. This is probably my second favorite of the crossover Transformers. Ectotron is still my favorite.
It's a great one. I never got the DeLorean, which I feel a little.
I didn't get the X or the Blackbird. X-Men one.
That was so expensive.
It was really expensive. That was why. And there have been a couple other ones. I really wanted the Party Wagon, the Turtles.
Oh, the Ninja
one.
Turtles.
I thought that one was pretty good. Also really easy that you just have to swap out the color mask as opposed to the heads, I think. So,
well, you know, I will say, as I look at this, because I haven't put the head on, They have the capacity inside to put all four heads in.
Oh, I like that.
I don't know how it spins. Oh, I do now. It just kind of...
That is a very cool design. I did not take that in consideration that they might actually put all the heads in the body.
Yeah, you just kind of pull this sucker out, and it will let you put all the heads in, and it spins around. So you can technically swap it out really, really fast. That's
awesome.
That's really good. That's good planning.
That's great design.
Yeah.
I think, wasn't there a Stranger Things one that was the Pizza Surfer pizza wagon?
I don't remember that, but I also, I don't know. I'm so over Stranger Things.
I love Stranger Things.
I didn't watch the last season.
Oh, you didn't?
No, maybe we'll do that in October. I just, I don't know. It took like 22 years to get 5 seasons.
I mean, yeah, that's a streaming problem anyway.
Oh, I know it is. Trust me. I mean, you know me and my Star Trek.
You know what? They may have made two different ones. They did make two different Transformer Stranger Things bots.
Really?
One was a Surfer Boy pizza, but they made one for season 5 that was the van for the radio station. And it's actually, and I also might be a smaller one, but it's it turns into something that, like, I think has 8 tracks in it. That's pretty neat. I don't hate it. The Surfer Boy pizza one I didn't really care for, but yeah, I love Stranger Things. I think the last season is okay. It's not bad. There is clearly a dip in quality in the writing, and the desperate need to, for whatever reason, focus on Noah Schnapp, who can't really act.
Well,
he is probably, I think he's the weakest of the entire group of kids. Well,
but he was, which is hilarious, because he's the kid that was the biggest deal in the first season, only because he was kidnapped.
Because he was
taken. He's not there.
A very little child. Not to throw shenanigans. It looks awesome.
It's so good.
He's showing me the Transform bot now. I was throwing shit at Noah Schnapp, but he's the weakest actor of the bunch, and there's a lot of focus on him, and there's a lot of really stilted writing. I still really had a great time with it, but I was also kind of a dyed-in-the-wool Stranger Things person. I bought the limited edition 4K Arrow box set. So, you know.
Like you do.
Like I do. And someone's like, but you have Netflix. And I'm like, yeah, but I probably won't always. Because it's getting crappier and crappier, and I need to cut some stuff. So me having the option to just have Stranger Things is fine by me.
Speaking of streaming getting crappier and crappier, I want to talk about the opposite of that right now. You checked out Lanterns yet?
I have not watched Lanterns yet.
So I only bring this up because I found it very, very funny. The quote unquote, there's a lot of memes of Lanterns if it was on Netflix, because Lanterns has been, for the record, very, very, very good. We're only 3 episodes into the season, and it is exceeding all of my expectations for this show. But it's also very, very funny that there's a lot of commentary because stuff is not immediately explained, that it's a plot hole. Guys, it's a mystery show. It's a show that's a mystery. They're setting up the whole mystery for the entire season.
Yeah,
you're in episode 2, dog. Of course they haven't explained everything. I just, media literacy is dead. It makes me sad.
It is, and it drives me up the wall. It really and truly does. The comment section was a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Sorry, gang. I'm playing with this toy the entire show tonight. It rules.
I want to shift gears because I know the two of us have been playing some video games and been playing the same video game. And I figure this is a perfect time for a semi-sequel to Jaleka Dragon, because Drew and I both bought Kiwami 2 and have been playing it.
Guys, it turns out I love Yakuza games. I love Yakuza games.
I do too. And I started Final Fantasy 16, made it to the first area, and I was like, boy, howdy, do I not care about this at all. And have not gone back to it since my first session.
Even with your boy Ben Starr?
Look, I like Ben Starr quite a bit. And his favorite Final Fantasy is my favorite Final Fantasy. But it's, here's the thing, is it an awful game? No, it's a pretty good production. It's a, you know, a little too Game of Thrones-y for me.
Oh, but it's extremely that.
Yeah, I hate that. And like every pass is telegraphed from the get. And I'm just like, I don't care at all about any of these losers. And yeah, I decided to opt out. I no longer feel forced to continue with games I'm just not interested in.
You know, that's being an adult, Miles.
I know, but like it's great. It's pretty freeing because like, yeah, I love Final Fantasy historically, but also historically, Final Fantasy has not been Final Fantasy for quite some time.
Yeah, it's honestly a bit sad. I'm trying to like, I've played 16. I beat 16. I liked a lot of 16. It's a weird game. I played 15. I liked a lot of 15. Mm-hmm. And then 15, 15.
Playing 15 is a lot of fun.
But, yeah.
But trying to suss out the story in 15 is not. That is going to say, they decided to put the Yakuza franchise back on sale. So for $60, I bought the rest of the franchise. I mean, the rest of the original run. That's 0 through 6. Kiwami 1 and 2, the remaster of 3, 4, 5, and 6.
But not Kiwami 3, which is the most recent game to come out.
Correct. Which I'm fine with because apparently Kiwami 3 makes a lot of terrible choices.
I'm just
going by what I've read. I don't know anything about it.
I then went back and read more stuff because I was debating buying that same deal. But my problem is I already own Zero and Kiwami, or I already own Zero, Kiwami, and Kiwami 2, and 4, 5, and 6 were each $10. So I'd have could have spent half the amount of money by not doing that. But that is the only way to get 3 remastered now. They do not sell it by itself anymore. It has been pulled from all stores in favor of Kiwami 3. So I was just trying to see, like, what's the real deal with Kiwami 3? Why are people upset with it? You know, da 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 da. And really, the apparently the ending is the only thing that people are really, really upset with Kiwami 3 about.
Hmm. Well, I gotta say, Kiwami 2 is not disappointing me so far.
No, it's really good.
Even the second game, it's like, oh yeah, we know Kiryu's a badass, and we know we can make some golden moments with him, and they do. There are so many moments where I'm just like, oh yes, I'm so excited to be Kiryu again. This is making me so happy.
There are so many things that are like, it's on a different engine. It's Kamurocho looks so good. The level up tree is completely different from Kiwami 1, which I like a lot more.
I like the leveling system. It sacrifices some of the fun toying with the combat from Kiwami 1. Yes,
the combat is not as deep, which is a little sad. However, it does have way more heat actions that are way more hyper-specific to the point where you go through these subquests and you'll become buddies with like the guy at this food stand or this dude with a guitar or this old lady.
The guy busking on the bridge, I troll the bridge just so I can utilize that heat action because it is golden. Also, being on any bridge or ledge or roof, the heat action, if you're close to it, is always toss them off.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's nice. And then there's the one that I cannot believe is in this game.
It's so good, dude. The first time it happened, I dropped my controller. I was laughing so hard.
So there is, and I'm sitting on the couch playing the game. My wife is there, so she can attest to me doing this exact set of circumstances. I'm in the middle of this fight with these guys. And there's just this girl that's there, this lady. And I'm like, lady, you got to get out of here. We're having a fight. You are going to get hurt if you're standing right here. What are you doing here? And right as I say that, I see a triangle pop up on the screen, which is the heat action icon. And I press it. And then Kiryu hits a dude, spins him around, and he stumbles and falls face first into her chest. That is why that heat action is there. It was hilarious. And then she slaps him and takes him out of the battle.
she slaps him and then like either knees him in the face or the groin or something, and yes, it one shots the person you're fighting typically. it's pretty great. There's a lot more, and I don't know if this is a Kiwami thing or if this was in the original Yakuza 2, but there are so many moments where the camera does kind of allow you to look at Kiryu's face and see like a subtle like facial reaction to things. And my two favorites so far in the game have been one when he's in the Grand eavesdropping on the Oni son's conversation about dragons. Because it is such a... like, yeah, I'm here conversation.
Which one is that? I don't remember this one.
When you go to meet Ryo on the second floor of the Grand, and he's just and Kiryu's just sipping his whiskey, they're having this conversation. The guy calls him the Dragon of Kansai, and he starts beating the dude up, and then Kiryu kind of interjects in the conversation, and then proceeds to wipe the floor with all the guys. It's a great moment. My second favorite moment so far is when you start the Cabaret Club host mini game where you manage a cabaret club. There is a moment in the conversation leading up to you getting involved that the camera then flashes to Kiryu's face and he just makes a subtle reaction that just says, God, I'm about to get roped into something really stupid. It's a subtle thing that you can easily catch, but I was dying because like they're leaning into the fact that just stuff keeps happening to Kiryu. Like this is our action-oriented Forrest Gump. Like,
well, the only reason he ends up getting involved in the Cabaret Club minigame in the first place is because he happens to be walking by the club when the guy gets...
why he gets involved in anything in this game, is Kiryu happens to be walking by. If you think of every side story, it's just because Kiryu is walking by, existing, and some nonsense just zeroes in on him.
It's so good.
Whether it be even this whole situation, which also your quote-unquote niece, Haruka, at the beginning of the game, is living with you. And when you are about to get dragged into some Yakuza nonsense, she's like, oh, well, I'll go back to the orphanage. I'm sorry, what? Like, this game makes the wildest choices, and I love it. She's just like, I'll go to the orphanage for a little bit.
She gets out of the way, you know? Hey.
I mean, she can handle herself. I'm pretty sure she could stay at that house that they live in for a little bit.
We don't know what their living situation is. I guess we do. We see their apartment at the beginning.
We see their apartment. There's some different mini games. They've improved some. They've made some worse. I think baseball is awful in this game. Worse than the first game. Darts, vastly improved. Golf, kind of fun.
I did not like the golf in this one as much as I've liked the golf in the later games, but you know, they get there.
Almost all of them get better in the later games. But I used to be really, really good at Virtua Fighter 2 when I was a kid. And boy howdy, am I terrible now.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, dog.
It's not super responsive, but like it's also not a very responsive fighting game. And I think I forget that.
Like, I think it's also not a true version, true port.
Probably not, but I say that to make myself feel better because I did so poorly. But yeah. But I am overall enjoying the experience. The story is pretty fun so far. It kind of takes some directions I wasn't expecting. So I don't even know yet, dog.
I know I'm ahead of you, and I know some stuff that's coming for you that you're going to be like, what?
No, I'm excited. I'm very glad that they were able to like, hey, this story is not just a carbon copy of the first. And so even though there's a lot of familiar material, there's a lot of stuff to feel new. The eating system is so much better. Yes. It's so interesting.
And it's stuff that is not in the later games, which I think is a little sad. They do some of it in 7. That's only because it's tied to leveling up, where it's not tied to leveling up later.
Yeah. But I mean, right now there's some games coming out, but like as I get older and I'm less really worried about being spoiled or FOMO, I'm more fine just letting some stuff go on sale so I don't need to get everything at launch. And so outside of Silent Hill Townfall, I don't know what else I'm getting at launch for the foreseeable future. I'll wait for sale, even including Wolverine. I'll probably wait for sale for that. So for me, having a ton of Yakuza games to go through, as well as a bunch of JRPGs that I've purchased, I'm pretty good right now. Like, I'm kind of enjoying that little bit. Also, Final Fantasy XIV just released on Switch 2. And the free trial, which is a pain to do if you've already had a Final Fantasy XIV account.
That's what I've heard, that it kind of sucks.
However, just make a new Gmail, start a new one, and the free trial is amazing. Because you get like 100 hours of content. Like, you...
First like 3 expansions that you just get to play for free? 3 or 4,
yeah. I think it's at least up to Dawn Trail, maybe.
Which is pretty wild.
Or maybe Endwalker, I'm not sure. But like, you get several of them. But it's also enough time to be like, hey, yeah, I'll buy this. Like, if it's going to give me 60 hours of free content, and I had played a good chunk of The Realm Reborn about 6 years ago when we all briefly got into it for like 3 months.
It was less than 3 months.
Yeah. It was,
and I played it for 3 months. Nobody else did.
I played for about a month and a half.
I got way into Final Fantasy XIV when we did that, and then everybody else was like, it's not really for us. And it's like, then why have I been grinding? Why have I been out here in the streets?
I haven't really done a whole lot more than starting my character and starting some quest trees, but like, it plays really well on the Switch.
What class are you doing?
I think I'm a Highlander.
I don't even remember what that is.
And then I was, I can't remember what character. I'll have to look. it was a couple weeks ago.
I did a cleric back in the day, because here's the MMO secret, Miles. You can always get a party as a healer, because it's the job that most people don't want to do.
I thought about that, but I also didn't want to run around as a healer at the moment.
I get it.
I want to whack things. Even though I'm a Highlander, I might have chosen archery. I know I'm in that guild. But yeah, I'm kind of dipping my toes back into Final Fantasy XIV, and basically just kind of making my backlog my gaming thing right now, just mostly because, I mean, one, the landscape's pretty dire, games are getting more expensive, and there's plenty of great things to play that I haven't even touched.
Yeah, which is why I pre-ordered Onimusha that comes out on Tuesday. Yeah, no, it comes out on Thursday. Excuse me. I'm not going to...
Look, Halloween, the game comes out this weekend. I know I'm going to get that. I know I'm going to get it. But I also have, I'm going to show Drew, I have a stack of wrapped Switch games that I have not cracked open at all. And this is 2, 4, 6. I have 8 games right here in my hand that are still in the wrapping. Most of it I got in my brief Timu psychosis because I got these insane deals for about a month and then noped out.
Which was honestly probably smart.
Oh yeah, but I got Final Fantasy Tactics for $10, so I'm not going to complain.
That is crazy town.
Right, I got that game for $9.99. Everyone was like, "Oh, you're gonna get some weird Timu version." It was the regular North American release, shrink wrapped, delivered to my door for $10 or $9.99 plus free shipping. Like, I lucked out. So I've got Dragon Quest III HD that I want to get into. Heck, I've been talking about replaying Final Fantasy VIII. I bought the physical European copy.
Oh, 7 and 8. How about that?
7 and 8. Yeah. You're the 7 guy. The 7 version that was released in terms of the I guess the remastered stuff, that's all based off the PC port, right?
Ish.
Okay.
So yes, technically it's all based off the PC port. But it's a little more complicated because it has features. Technically, I would say it's more based off of the PlayStation 4 version that they put out.
Okay.
Because the sort of like quality of life, being able to turn on no encounters or constantly having max health and limit breaks and stuff like that. All of that is based off of the PlayStation 4 version. In fact, that stuff was not in the PC version until like a couple months ago. And as it turns out, they apparently did it weird and released a new version of that on Steam that people don't like the performance of, you know? So what are you going to do?
Yeah, I'll check it. I also hadn't really played the 8 remaster, so
it's nice. It's got some nice things. You don't have to.
I'm looking forward to.
You don't have to level up Diabolos to get encounter none, which is nice. But it's also like because of how it works, and the fact that you can do encounter none anytime. It really makes the Final Fantasy VIII sickos that I know you are one of them. It you could break this game by having no encounters so early.
Oh yeah, you can also break the game in many ways. My last playthrough, I got the ultimate weapon in Disc 1.
Right, which I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna mess around with that.
Here's the thing: outside of the massive grind to get the material from the adamant toys that you need, it's not a bad quest to get the stuff for the ultimate weapon in the first disc.
No, I believe it because like I what I did is I was on disc 1 because of because I'm a game breaker sicko. I had Aga spells walking into Galbadia. And the way that game works, listeners, if you've never played Final Fantasy VIII, the game scales based on what level you are. It's interesting to a degree. It is interesting because no bosses, the required fights in this game, give experience points at all. Because those are the ones that you have to do. But everything else does. But there are things that you can do to avoid getting experience points. And I don't remember all of them offhand. I know if you turn things into cards, you don't get experience points.
Obviously you can turn off the battles.
Well, I'm just saying, but if you want to be a sicko.
I did the opposite approach.
The Guardian forces, the GFs, give you XP if you win with them.
I think they give themselves XP. I think they're constantly they're feeding into something. They give.
There's also AP. That's a stat.
Yeah, but all the little gems and stuff that you junction and stuff. I think that's what they give experience points to. It's been a little hot minute since I've really tinkered with it. But what I did last time was, because I did the ultimate weapon and had the ultimate weapon in disc one. That first time you play the sorceress, one hit killed her.
Yeah, man.
At the end of the disc, that's the end boss of the disc, and literally the fight just has to freeze and go into the cutscene where she takes everyone out, because it's like, oh, yep, this is over now.
Yeah,
like that's a fight that you're supposed to lose.
This is the stuff that I love in games. Like, I also love it in more recent games where they know that people are going to be sickos about this, like
encourage it.
Ghost of Tsushima has a boss battle with like the big bad of the game that you are not supposed to win. He is supposed to defeat you, but if you're good enough, you can beat him. Now they still wave it away, and they kind of make you they have a rationale for why things end up going the way they do. You don't just like, oh, now everything's fine because you beat the leader of the Hun army or whatever it is. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, there's some game companies that seem to always want to tweak it, and like Bungie's always tweaked stuff. And From Software mostly did. They there's a couple things they didn't do in Elden Ring, which I was appreciative of. Like, there are certain little farming areas that you could just sit at for an hour. And
oh, I kill chickens. I'm not afraid to say that I killed a bunch of chickens.
Oh, that's what you do. In fact, because it's a pain to get there when you're low level. So, like, if you can run to that spot, light the bonfire, and then just die, you are golden.
Oh, it's perfect. Because that spot was awesome. Because Miles knows exactly which spot I'm talking about. You get there, and there are these, like, big, massive, like, I call them chickens. There are these big, massive, like, gross bird creatures that all you do is but between you and them, you're on a cliff and there's a big chasm. So you get a decent ranged bow and arrow or crossbow or whatever, and you shoot one and it runs careening at you and falls off the cliff.
And it's worth a lot of points.
It's worth a lot of points, especially at that point that you can get to it at. And so, yeah, I abuse that system pretty good.
Same. I love a game that has things that you can geek out and game and break. Like, it's fun. To me, that's part of the fun is like, hey, I did this really stupid thing in this game. And that's my favorite thing in the world sometimes is like, hey, look at this dumb thing I did. I mean, obviously, Tears of the Kingdom players are still doing that.
Yeah.
And to great effect. And I love any game that actively encourages player creativity, I think, is a good thing. I think it's lost in a lot of the AAA narrative games these days. There isn't a whole lot of whimsy and game. It's all, you know, the serious story of the hero.
I don't know that it's all that.
It's not. Look, I watched the Gamescom conference. It was like 99% that.
I mean, look, there's a Sony State of Play in a couple of days that I'm going to miss, I think. But, yeah, there's.
I might too. I might be in physical therapy.
But yeah. anyway.
That kind of segues to something I want to talk about a little bit, and that is kind of the state of games. Like, part of the reason that I'm also a lot more. Yeah, I'll play stuff when I play stuff, or I'll get on sale. Obviously, things have gotten more expensive, but a lot of game companies have been a lot more unreliable. Like, I mean, they'll create a great game, and then the next one just is either more the same and in a bad way, like God of War Ragnarok, where it's like, what I'm playing is not awful. It's just kind of,
Yeah, I think it's less that that game that it's, how do I put this? Games are so expensive to make now.
Sure. So I'm not discounting the,
so expensive.
The expense.
And, what I'm getting at though is that as a result, these big, huge companies like your Sony's, like your Microsoft's, like your EA's, they want stuff that they know is going to work. They want stuff that they know is going to land and be a hit. And that's not always the case. Sometimes they put out a game like God of War Freya or whatever that's going to be called. That is going to be not Freya. What is her name?
It's Freya.
Is Freya. That looks completely different that people are because it looks completely different. People are upset about like, so what do you do? There's no winning on the internet. There's no winning anymore.
Here's the problem is they've made it so that every single one of their games has to land on red. Basically, like it has to be a golden ticket because they put the GDP of a small country into the making of this game. And
I mean, look, we're talking, we're in the year that Grand Theft Auto 6 is about to come out. Of course, that's a huge part of it.
Sure. I mean, it's going to get completely destroyed by Godzilla Destroy All Monsters Melee Remaster anyway. So I don't know why they're even bothering. I know what I'm buying that day. I'm not even kidding. But that leads me to a conversation that, like, part of it is we got rid of the AA game. There's no mid-budget games anymore. So there's no risks being taken. Like, so many of these games, like, that come out, and part of the reason they feel the same is, like, there's no risks anymore at all from these companies. They may buy an indie company that made an interesting game and then take all the credit. Like, what's the game that Square loved taking credit for? Lost in the decision-making game. It's got like 10 of them now. Where you reverse time. Life is Strange. Like, they'll do that. But also, you're muted.
I've been talking the entire time. Have you not been hearing?
I've seen your mouth moving. That's why I kept talking, because I knew no one else could hear you.
Oh, my God. I had so many good points I was making.
No, you didn't. I always wanted to say it took two lines.
Why did I mute? I don't even know why I'm muted.
I have no idea. But, like, I feel like maybe this doing stuff like, all right, look, am I fully on board of just, okay, we're gonna use some of our mobile assets and completely redo it and make this smaller Final Fantasy title and call it Resonance? Do I want them to just do that? No. But do I like the effort of, like, yeah, let's make a smaller title. Maybe let's not use the same vanillaware 2.5D that everyone else is. But, like, I like that there's something that isn't just our massive, slick, cinematic, dark toned AAA title.
You say that, but you and me and our buddy Mike were talking about Silent Hill, the new Silent Hill game that's only $50 coming out in a couple of weeks.
Correct, but Konami and Silent Hill are a very different situation. Konami outsourced all those games, so let's not pretend Konami did anything.
Sure. But I'm just
that's the Annapurna one, I believe.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
No, but that's the thing is people will say stuff like that. Oh, well, you get this. I'm like, yeah, but they didn't do it. Now, I appreciate that Konami is outsourcing their titles and giving me a variety of Silent Hill games at different price points. From free with the short message, which is garbage, to full price for Silent Hill F, which was pretty decent, although, you know, not the most fun to play. And then you've got Silent Hill 2, Faithful Remake. So if you like Silent Hill 2, you'll like the remake. And then Townfall looks like a different style of game for a decent price. It looks like an indie game. It's priced like an indie game, and I love that.
Clair Obscura Expedition 33, not a triple I indie game, I think is what people are trying to say, because it had a bigger budget than a lot of your, you know,
indie games. Because it got like a grant from France or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's fine. But
That wasn't a $70 game either. So no. I think that there's,
and it was also one of the best games of all time. So like, who are we going to argue with?
Imagine that. No, I'm not really trying to argue with you here. I'm just trying to say, I think there's room for that stuff. It's just not going to come from the people that you want it to come from.
No, it's going to come from indie developers.
And especially in the world where Electronic Arts has gone private again.
Yeah.
They're not going to release anything that is going to be anything other than a huge moneymaker. They were going to take zero risks.
I when we played Yakuza Kiwami last, or in July, I was just kind of blown away by like just the joy of the experience. And I was like, you know, someone could take this style here, make an easy mid-budget game, put it somewhere else, do something completely different. But like, you could still do something like this, I think, in a mid-budget range, sell it for $40 and make a mint. And I think that's my thing. Like everything that we've, like, you see it in our wall of indies, our wheel of indies. Like, we play a bunch of games that, like, are interesting that no one else is making. Like, no one's going to make, what was the game that you loved that was super quirky and fun and British?
Thank goodness you're here. Thank goodness you're here.
Yeah. Like,
Reggie's wife might have learned a thing or two.
Coming out that feels like that. The weird hand game,
which I thought was the same company for a minute, but I think it's an Australian company.
The trailer when I saw it, because I was like, "Oh, this is drool all over."
I thought it was because there's a quest in that, in Thank Goodness You're Here, that is effectively that game.
Give me a lot of weird titles like that. Like, you know, I think that's my thing. Is like, I want to see more variety. I want to see more imagination. I want to see more playfulness in my games. I want to play games, man. Like, I don't want to just kind of play narrative experiences, which I love. Like, for the longest time, that's what we wanted, because we were only getting the half measures that the technology of the time could do. You know, Final Fantasy 3/6 had a great script on the SNES, but like, we wanted more. We wanted something more novelistic in terms of the actual story being told to us, which we get now. And I love that.
Well, honestly, we also lost so much. So funny that you said Final Fantasy 6 for that, because we do get one of the biggest novel things that has ever happened in video games, and the most surprising things that ever happened in video games of Final Fantasy 6 at the time.
Sure. I'm not dismissing Final Fantasy VI. I'm just saying that like, we wanted bigger and bigger experiences. Final Fantasy VII, VIII, IX delivered that, and we've kind of gone that way since. But I also feel like we kind of lost so much along the way. It's a bummer. Like, why can't we just get a simple Sonic the Hedgehog game or a Mario game? Like, why does it have to be, all right, we have to come with a brand new gimmick? Give me 12 new worlds. That's it. Give me 12 new worlds to jump around in. That's all I need to do.
Yeah.
It's Mario. Like, I love 3D Mario games. Don't get me wrong. But like, if you gave me Super Mario World 5 or whatever, I'd eat that stuff up.
I'm not disagreeing. But then, like, what did they do? They released Mario Maker, so you can just go and make your own.
I mean, that's fair, you know? that's probably the best thing that they did. Is like, you know what? We'll just leave it to the sickos. And we'll keep giving them patches to make modern or like better, like 16-bit Mario games and stuff like that. So, you want World? Here you go. I know that they were kind of at one point talking about doing a Zelda game and then realized, no, we're going to shoot ourselves in the foot if we do that.
Yeah, that was...
fair, you know? Because all it's going to take is one person to come out with that killer file that makes everyone be like, yeah, why are we going Nintendo for this? But that's just me ranting on video games for a little bit.
Look, speaking of video games, I want to go play video games. So I think that's where we are going to wrap it up for tonight. Next week, We're going to come in. I'm going to be very tired. So we'll see how long we actually record.
Yeah, it'll probably be Drew telling me all about Dragon Con, and maybe I'll have caught up some stuff by then. Who knows? Sorry, this is a little last minute that we decided to, we just can't make this movie happen.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is, but we don't get bitten too often by that, but that's okay. If you want to reach out to us, you can find us everywhere that we say every other episode. Just email us, themoreyounerd@gmail.com. That's themoreyounerd@gmail.com. Check out Cosmic Crit. It's our sister show, cosmiccrit.com. Join the Cosmic Crit Discord and come and talk to me and Miles all day while we are bored at work. So,
you know, the energy's gone right now.
Gang, I'm so tired. Oh, so with that said, gang, we're in the show as we always do with a rousing
nerd out. Too nerd for y'all.